Some of the most powerful and fruitful truths, principles from Scripture, get camouflaged by the enemy through confusion or chaos or abuse in the way they're taught. And I think there are two that leave the church impotent or leave the church fruitless as a result. And one is the teaching of stewardship. I'm not going to talk about that, but I think there's been so much abuse and there's a lack of trust that comes, and so people don't honor the Lord with their first fruits. There's a lot of reasons why people don't, but that's a teaching from God's Word. If you understand that revelation, you would gladly give unto the Lord, and you would have a heart of stewardship. The second truth is as it relates to teaching around the Holy Spirit. And when Satan confuses or clouds or camouflages the truth around the teaching of the person, the Holy Spirit, the church is left in a vulnerable, weak place. And so this morning, I want to be real simple. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be way more practical than you realize. And it may get a little bit emotional in here, but I'm committed this morning to just kind of downloading truth from God's Word, because I don't want people to be confused or to say, well, I wasn't raised that way, and that's just not the kind of Christian I am. I want us to look at God's Word. John said that the one coming after me is greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's not two different things. It's two adjectives to describe one thing that will happen. Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit, and a result of that will be a fire. And we'll talk about the properties and the traits of fire, because it's real practical. He said the Holy Spirit result will be a fire, a passion, an illumination. And that's what John said Jesus would do. It's one of the roles of Jesus. Interestingly, when Jesus went out, he never baptized people in water. His disciples did. The disciples did that water baptism. And Jesus had his own unique baptism that couldn't be done until after the resurrection, after he ascended and he was glorified. He said many, many powerful and practical truths about life in the Spirit. He said to the disciples, it is better if I go away. And it was shockingly true. Jesus told them, you've had me for 3.5 years. It's going to be better if you no longer have me. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He went on and he would say, I have been with you, but he, the Holy Spirit, will be in you. He will comfort you and counsel you. There are things, Jesus said, that I would like to even tell you right now that you're not equipped to be able to receive or understand. That's huge. Jesus said, there's things, the perfect teacher, things I'd like to say to you right now that you're not equipped to be able to grasp. But when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. And Jesus would go on to say, after he comes, everything the Father has given me, I will be able to give to you. Life in the Spirit, deep, profound truth. He will remind you of things, I'm saying, that you have forgotten, truth that's been revealed to you. Moments of despair, moments of confusion, not knowing where to go or what to do. Holy Spirit will just flash a red light, and he will highlight and remind you of things Jesus has said. He will counsel you. And the list went on and on and on. Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. And we don't have to talk about what that's like. But when one is left as an orphan with no system, no family to love and to protect and to guide, that's a vulnerable person. And Jesus said, I won't leave you like that. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about the job Jesus did with the 12 disciples? Spent 3.5 years, they were exposed to all the miracles, all the teaching from the master teacher. And then still, of the 12, one outright betrayed him, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Another one doubted him all the way to the end. And Simon Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. And the other 10, they fled at the moment of truth, and they were scared to death. Obviously, after spending 3 years with them, something else was needed. What was it? Jesus, he taught them in John 14, 15, 16, and then prayed for them in 17. It was life in the Holy Spirit. That's what the disciples didn't have. It's what they needed. Jesus was their source for those 3 years. And Jesus then taught, Holy Spirit will be your new source. When Jesus was with them, he told them what to do, where to go, how to do it, when to. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he was clear in saying, he will be your new leader. He will tell you where. He will lead you when. He will lead you. It will be his direction. He will be the administrator, the executor. He will be in charge of the church. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is today. For many of us, individually and corporately, when the Holy Spirit is in charge of a church, something special happens that doesn't happen when he's not in charge. Holy Spirit is the engine of the church. He's the one who calls people into ministry. He's the one who equips people for ministry. He's the one that gives them divine energy to stick with their ministry when the odds are against them. He's the one who gives sermons to your pastor. He's the one who gives you the ability to understand the word that he gave your pastor. He's the one who helps you hear God's word effectively. You see, the church is an organism that is fully dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is not a corporation. John says, I baptize you with water. That's necessary for repentance. But there's one coming greater than me. And that thing that he will do is greater than a baptism for repentance. And that's necessary. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. What are some symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Anybody? Dove. He's gentle. He doesn't force his way. He's a gentleman. The Bible teaches that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is subject to the prophet. You know, and what that means is Holy Spirit in me is not going to like become a remote control and makes me do things that are outside of my personality. You know, and there are people that fear the life in the Spirit, like they're going to be at Walmart in the checkout line and go, abba-ba-hunda-la-ba-hunda-la-ba-hunda. And they're afraid of that. Look over to your neighbor and say, Pastor Chuck's been on vacation this week. You're hot, he's not. What's another symbol of Holy Spirit? Fire. What else? Cloud. What else? Wind. There's a couple others. Oil in the Old Testament. There's another one, John 7. Know? I think somebody's saying, but I can't hear. Water. These are all symbols of Holy Spirit. Let's talk about a couple of them. Water. Jesus said in John 7, out of your belly will come rivers of water. And I won't go into that whole teaching, but you will have people in your life who need water, and it will flow out of you. And that's ministry that will come up out of you. Water. Another one, someone mentioned oil. Everything in the Old Testament was anointed as a symbol or a type of the coming Holy Spirit. And that's what set apart and being made holy is, being sanctified. So they put oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that it was sealed and set and will be used for its purpose, a holy purpose. Wind. We see in the Greek the same word wind for breath, spirit. wind in the Greek. Jesus said to Nicodemus, listen, the wind blows where it wants to. You can't figure it out where it came from or where it's going. He said, everyone who is born of the Spirit is like that. And there is a mystery to the way the Spirit works. And this is where we lose people, and it gets a little queasy for people about the Holy Spirit. And it shouldn't. It doesn't matter how you were raised. You may say, Pastor Chuck, I'm not a Holy Spirit type Christian. I'm not a charismatic Pentecostal. I'm not full gospel. Let me be respectful of your tradition. It's not about how you were raised and what you think. It's not about how I was raised. I was raised in some excesses. It's not about what I think. Hear me respectfully, brothers and sisters. It's your personal preference. It doesn't matter. It's what does God's word say? Can we all agree and vote? Let's all vote and say, all in favor of placing higher value on God's word than our opinions and preferences, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Great, the ayes have it. Clearly. It's here where people get queasy, though. The wind, we don't know where it came from. We don't know where it... You know what that simply means? You don't always know what God's doing in your own life. And how many of you know what he's doing is probably going to be better than your plan A? That's what that means. So we submit to that. So please do away. Consider doing away with your personal preference. Give God's word greater value. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And this is the greatest need in my life. Holy Spirit. And fire. Next Sunday, I leave after the service in the afternoon going to Guatemala. I've been invited to go down and speak to a group of about 150 pastors in Guatemala on the vertical church. And the one thing that I know is going to be necessary. I mean, God is just giving me download after download after download that you don't trust your own talents, your own skills. Trust me, y'all. Listen, I'm going to be very real and transparent with you. Speaking comes natural for me. Entertaining people, telling jokes. I've spoken to 20,000 kids at one time. I've been in auditoriums and stadiums and public schools and in corporate settings. Speaking is natural and easy for me. And I can do it and get a laugh. But if it's me and just my own natural ability, and I'm not the best speaker. I know that. But I know I can always land on my feet. But here's my deal. I have to choose to lean in and count on the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to come in and silence me and my personality and my ego and my desire to be affirmed and to entertain and to get a laugh. I have to lean in so Holy Spirit can do what he does. Because if we lean on my talent, everything that happens will be based on my ability. And listen, we're in trouble. Seriously. Sometimes when I haven't prayed up and I hear myself preaching, I make me sick. I'm serious. I can't go on Facebook and watch when I haven't been prayed up. I make me sick. And if I preach in my own strength and charm and wit and personality, you might come 2 or 3 weeks, but it'll be over. It should be. We need God. We need the rhema word of the creative, the force that spoke the world into existence. And he makes me say things sometimes I don't want to say. I'd love to preach bubblegum sermons. I'd love to smile and bring my pretty wife up here and bless everybody every Sunday. But sometimes, thus saith the word of the Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. The flowers The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand for. Man does not live on bread alone, but he lives on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need, Chuck Ramsey needs, Holy Spirit power. And I'm going to tell those people in Guatemala, those leaders, listen, I'm going to tell them this, but and there's a reason. Last time I was down there, they took us to a mega church. And it looked so American. And we were in a theater, and they piped a live stream in. And everything was programmed and perfect. And it was like we were watching a movie. And was it nice? Yes. It was sweet and encouraging and godly. But it had no breath of God. And I know that all those pastors in those villages are now going, if we could be like the mega church in Guatemala City and get multiple locations. And I want to say, no! If you can get the Holy Spirit activity and the glory of God to come in those places, then you'll be having church. Come on, somebody. We praise your name, Father God. Three quick things. Fire penetrates and changes things. Whatever it touches. Water, we pour water out here and it'll wet the carpet. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It'll dry. Oil, we could put a little oil. And eventually, it'd take a little longer. It'd be slippery, but over time, it would dry. If you light a match, though, put a little fire on this carpet won't be wet. It won't be oily. Eventually, it'll be no moss. It'll be gone because fire gets down, hear me, to the bottom of everything. It penetrates. When we, listen please somebody, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the fire comes and gets down to the real deal inside of us, and we need help being real. All of our excuses get burned away. All the lies that we tell ourselves, all pretense, all phoniness, all religion, is burned away, gone. We're so good at fooling people, we fool ourselves. When Holy Spirit comes, he will show you the mirror of God's word, and he will change you. Holy Spirit fire burns up fleshly, worldly, superficial things. The fire of God will get your eyes on Jesus and off of whatever is keeping you from keeping your eyes on Jesus. When Holy Spirit comes, it will do things that no teacher, preacher, pastor, counselor could ever do. When Holy Spirit comes, you'll realize things like the shortness of life. When Holy Spirit baptizes you and the fire of God comes, it will totally transform you, totally change you. You will never be the same again. You will be ruined in a beautifully good way. It changed Saul of Tarsus. The first century's greatest terrorist, changed him into Paul the Apostle. It changed Simon Peter from a scared, intimidated disciple who denied he even knew Jesus. It turned him in, hear me somebody, to a bold preacher who stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the first sermon. And oh, by the way, 3,000 people were converted that day. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. And when Simon Peter was martyred and he learned they were going to crucify him like they did Jesus, he was so done with their intimidation. He had so much passion. He had no fear. He said, no, don't crucify me like that. People will look at me being crucified and they'll go, oh, that reminds us of Jesus. He said, turn me upside down. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Will turn us upside down in a beautiful, godly, wonderful, life-changing way. Pastor Chuck, can you go to a church and not have fire? Yeah. You can. And it will be boring. Can you pastor a church and preach and not preach about the fire or have the fire? Yes, you can. People do it. It's boring. It's predictable. Or it becomes entertaining and it's more like a production. It's like a TED talk. It moves you, but it doesn't change you. Because the Holy Spirit penetrates. The fire of God penetrates and changes things. We praise you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit burns up pride like a piece of paper. We do a lot of things to get better, to get repaired. We go to counseling. We read books and go to conferences. And all of these things are good, but they're ineffective unless they talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit. Ministry with the fire of God exalts Jesus. Preaching is different. When you preach with the fire of the Holy Spirit, it's about Jesus and not about the pastor's ego. When you preach with the fire of God, it's a word of God that comes directly from him, and it changes the people who are hearing and open to receiving it. When the fire of God is in ministry, the singers, the musicians, they don't just sing music and notes and harmonies. They become instruments, and they sing about Jesus because their lives have been transformed by Jesus, and it goes from music to worship. And when it goes from music to worship, the kingdom of God advances, and the kingdom of darkness is diminished by the fire, the pillar of fire that leads us in this dark world. You see, fire will burn out greed and selfishness, immorality, distraction. Fire will burn out unforgiveness. It will burn it out. It will burn out bitterness. It will burn out racism. In fact, it's the only thing that will help somebody be healed of racism. When the fire of God penetrates, we will be changed forever. And I say, oh God, change us. Start with Chuck Ramsey. Change us, oh God. We praise you, Lord. We welcome your spirit. I feel the brush of your wings in this place, Lord. We welcome you, Lord. We honor you, Father. Hallelujah. Fire will set you free. Felix, it set you free. Did it not? Lou, it'll change you. Like nothing else can, when nothing else can. And you will understand, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old will be no longer part of you. It will be gone. The new will come, and you'll be changed. Hallelujah. I could tell you, and this is where I'm tempted to get into next week, but I'm not. Please come back next week. 2018 was the most painful year for the Ramsey family that we know. But it was a great year. And Satan came after us and he tempted us to give in and fight in the flesh. And it's been an 11-month battle. And I thank God that we've been reading through the Bible this year. And I'm here in the last couple chapters of Revelation because it has fed me. And I tell you what, I'm going to pass this test. And God is going to be glorified. And Satan's not going to have a foothold because the fire of God, as Joey said, it's a pillar of fire in the night. It's a pillar, it's a cloud in the day, it's a fire in the night. And it leads us in darkness. Time out. I almost went into next week. Everybody give Pastor Chuck a hand. We didn't do it. But listen, self-effort, trying harder is the bane of Christianity. Gritting and trying harder, it's the bane of Holy Spirit living. You can't do it on your own. If you could, he would have never sent the Holy Spirit. That's why I said, we were helpless. I won't leave you as orphans. He knew the disciples couldn't do it. He sent the Spirit. Secondly, what was point number one? Fire penetrates and changes. Number two, fire gives light. It illuminates and gives guidance. Please, this is where it gets ultra practical. Electricity and lights are a relatively modern convenience. For most of the history of the world and most of the world, the day started when the sun came up and it ended when the sun went down. Nothing was done at night. The children of Israel were led in the day by a cloud, and by night they were warmed. And led by a fiery cloud. This is where I want to pause and just go, oh, imagine. You can burn up in the desert in the day, and you can freeze at night because it gets so cold. But God being God puts a pillar of clouds to block the sun in the day, and not only does it protect them, it's their GPS, and it leads them, and they follow it. And at night, he warms them, and in the darkness, they don't have to sit still. They can be led in darkness. What a beautiful picture of Holy Spirit. He illuminates. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. When you get hungry for authentic, primitive, biblical Christianity, and you get baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, you will open your Bible, read it, and truth will jump off of the page. You won't be able to highlight or underline quick enough. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever read a passage you've read 100 times, and you read one verse and you go, that wasn't in there the last time I read this? It happens. Or you've read it 100 times, and it said something to you for 100 times, and now it's saying something to you different. It's like God is there speaking to you. That is the fight. When you get tired of mundane, boring Christianity, and you go, I want the biblical stuff, God's word will come alive to you. You'll be underlining verse after verse. You'll be going, I need to do what Pastor Chuck does. Just figure out what you don't need to underline and underline that, because it'll be a lot less. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the Spirit that we talk about in Ephesians 1. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is Holy Spirit. He comes. What's it mean to illuminate? Listen, don't go, oh, he went all TBN on us. He's getting all charismatic with T.D. Jakes about to break out up here or something. Chill out. This is the Bible. If I say anything that's not Bible-based, you have the permission to go over and ask Pastor Munn. Is he? And I tell you, I know Pastor Munn. He backs me up on this stuff. Am I right, Pastor Munn? And Linda, too. Amen? Linda. Listen. What is illumination? It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's understanding. It's, I don't know what I should do. And he shows you what you should do. Please, oh, I'm about to wax pastoral right here. The things, the decisions that you make not consulting Holy Spirit, it's sad. Holy Spirit will tell you whether you should take that promotion or not. Well, it's more money, Pastor Chuck. So? Well, it's the trajectory. Have you prayed about it? What if more money puts you in more temptation? What if it takes you away from your family more and you don't realize that wasn't God until your child's 22 years old and they're strung out on whatever they're strung out on? It's Holy Spirit God. Not everything that glitters is gold. Holy Spirit will illuminate and guide you as it relates to, should we move? Which new car should we buy? Pastor Chuck, I know how to buy a car. Okay, maybe you do have the money and you get a new car every 2 years. Your company pays you for it. Have you bought a used car lately? How many of you know you need the Holy Spirit when you're in the used car market? Now I got my people, let's talk about. You know, on and on and on. Being a parent. Give me wisdom. Illuminate. I need a pillar of fire right now, Lord. Marriage. I need you, God, to guide me how to be the husband that Candace needs right now. I need your fire, Lord. It's a dark time. I need the pillar of fire. Listen, I'm going to tell you something for real. If it weren't the whole, Candace and I never use the D word, ever. Because we have Holy Spirit. If I did not have the Holy Spirit in me, there's a good chance we would be divorced. Don't underestimate how people who don't have the Holy Spirit stay married. I'm going to have to ask God when we get to heaven, how did that happen? Y'all out there? In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says this. There'll be a time, the prophet said, you won't know, should we go to the right or to the left? And you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Have any of y'all ever had the GPS of God, God's positioning service, say, no, it's not that way, it's that way, it's this way. Anybody know what I'm about to shout up here? I told y'all I was going to teach this morning, but I'm teaching so good, I'm moving me, I'm going to have to get into this thing. Y'all help me out. Thank God for his illuminating guidance. That's not T.D. Jakes or whoever, Rod Parsley or whatever scares you, you know. That's North Atlanta. You know, you live in a place that needs guidance. Every little village and hamlet and city, rural and urban, on this planet, the people need the fire of God. Can I get a witness? The messes that we could avoid if only we would consult the fire of God. The relationships that we would be in or out. The sustained relationships that could have been saved if we'd have been full of the Holy Spirit. You see, God comes to help us on a practical level. And that makes us emotional. He doesn't come to help us be emotional so we can get fired up to do the practical. Y'all tracking what I'm saying? So don't be afraid of Holy Spirit, thirdly and lastly. So number one was the fire penetrates and changes. Number two, fire does what? Illuminates and guides. Number three, fire spreads. Fire sets other things on fire. Water doesn't set other things on water. It doesn't leap out. If you get close enough to it, you won't get wet until you touch it. Oil doesn't set things on oil. You don't get oily until you touch it. Fire spreads. We need the fire of God. Revelation chapter 3, you know the church at Laodicea. It said they were neither hot nor cold. They weren't cold. Were they Christian? Yeah, they were. They weren't entirely cold. They weren't hot either. And Jesus said, because you're neither hot nor cold, you're neither one. I don't have any use for you. And then he got graphic. Jesus said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You're part of me, but I don't want you to stay part of me because you're neither cold nor hot. Fire spreads. If you just get the fire, and I'm not talking about emotional, don't be afraid of what might happen in Walmart. I'm talking about you getting touched by the fire of God. It will spread. People who get the fire of God, they don't have to go to evangelism classes. They'll pack a whole row of friends from their neighborhood or where they work or kids play soccer with their parents, and they just evangelize. And it won't be like, where do you go to church? It'd be so much bigger than that. It won't be like, how cool is your church? Are you comfortable bringing? No, it'll be like, you're on fire, and fire spreads. And you don't have to tell people you're on fire. Fire is passion. You burn in the night, people see it. People are drawn to it. Fire is mesmerizing. It consumes. It's amazing what fire does. Is your fire spreading or are you on fire? May God May we not be a lukewarm church. And when, hear me, I want to give the North Atlanta balance. This is how I believe it. You know, we're spirit-filled around here, but we don't do crazy. We don't. And we'll call it out, and we'll ask you to sit down. If you get out of order, you're drawing attention to yourselves. That's worse. That's why this whole thing gets camouflaged. But we are into it, and we desire it because we need it. Jesus wants the message of the gospel. He wants salvation to go viral. So he knows. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to fill us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire so that we can spread the good news of who he is. Is anybody out there this morning? Now, here's what I want to ask you to do as we come into a close, for a close. I want to ask you to just say to the Lord, between you and the Lord, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Everything that's in your word that you say is mine, I want it. If there's an experience with Holy Spirit that I have not had yet that Jesus wants to give me, I want to be open to it. Fill me with, baptize me, immerse me, submerge me, take me under. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and may the fire of God begin to burn in me. May it penetrate and change. You know what? Penetrate, Lord. Burn like this carpet. If it catches on fire, it would be gone. Burn in me so that all of Chuck Ramsey's selfishness, ego, pride, independence, immorality, that it'll burn and be gone. Illuminate, guide me, lead me. And may you spread through me, make this faith viral in North Atlanta. Make our church, Lord, contagious. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2019 is going to be off the chain. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be ridiculous. Because people in here, we're going to get touched by the fire of God. Not the emotional excitement program of Pentecost, but the Bible stuff. Are y'all out there? It's dark. I can barely see you. In the name of Jesus. Woo! I'm closing with this, I promise, in 20 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is it. For real. For real. This is where I would have you to be open because this is what I do feel like is prophetic for us as a church. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5, and then it's followed up. Paul quotes from it in Acts chapter 13 verse 41. We read it last week. Look here, it says, the prophet says, God wants to do something in your day that if he were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And Paul right here says it in a different way. Don't miss this. It says, no mere man has ever seen, heard, or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. How many of you, if you knew you would win the lottery if you bought one ticket, how many of you go buy one ticket? And you can get the money sanctified later, but you buy that one ticket. You'd even pay tithe on it. How many of you? How many of you knew if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, would draw near to him? How many of you, if you knew God has things you haven't even dreamt or imagined for you, Michelle, for you, Josh, Nick, Caroline, Grandma, you, Brian, if you knew he had things that are you can't even imagine or dream, you would say, man, I want him to reveal them to me. Look what verse 10, or 10, I'm sorry. But we know about these things because God has sent his Spirit to tell us. And his Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. Brothers and sisters, this is why I lose my voice half the time when I preach. Oh, you know there's two or three things that run in every message of mine, and this is one of them. God's plan for you is so great. If we could just get you to walk in obedience, man, I want so bad for God's plan to be your plan. I want you to be able to walk in that and enjoy that. That's heaven on earth. But it says the B part of verse 9. For those who love the Lord. Look what the Amplified or the Passion Translation says. For those who love him, and in brackets, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. Pastor Chuck, let's be honest. I have a hard time holding him in affectionate reverence. I have a hard time obeying him. Listen, this is why we're saying. I have a hard time doing it too. This is why you need Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit won't let you get off track. If you do, he'll make you miserable. Beautifully, sickly, wonderfully, healthily sick. You will have to contradict and go against what the Spirit of God in you is saying to do. Have you ever on Waze missed a turn and that lady will not shut up? You're like, give me a minute already. I'm trying to get back around. I'm not at the U-turn yet. Shut up. Anybody? Holy Spirit will be like, you shouldn't have talked to her like that. You really shouldn't have. I don't know who you think you are talking to anybody like that. You're Pastor Chuck, but I'm not impressed with you. I love you too much to let you treat people. This is what happens. Stand if you want the fire of God in your life. Come on. Stand if you want the Holy Spirit, the contagious, passionate fire of God in your life. We praise you, O Lord. We praise you, Father. Just raise your hands, people. Would you, if you want to hold them out, whatever you're comfortable doing, just say, Lord, fill me. I want everything you have for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a powerful, defining moment for us as a church in this season. 2019 is going to be crazy good if you'll walk with him, if you'll draw near to him. He's entreating you all through. He said, you'll search me and find me when you search with all your heart. Call unto me, he says, and I will answer. I will answer. You just call. You have to call. I will answer. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Holy Spirit, give us a vision. Help us to dream bigger. Lord, no, we don't want that. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can understand those things that eyes don't see and ears don't hear and hearts don't perceive. And I pray for young men and women in the name of Jesus. I was 11 years old when I was changed, transformed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same. I haven't been perfect, but I was marked and changed permanently. Lord, mark us, fill us with your Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you just...